Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Mark chapter 1, verse 15. As you're going there, like 3 weeks ago now, I was on my last trip in Minnesota, and I was getting ready to finish up the series of meetings I was doing. And the last night of the meeting, I had this word come in my heart, and we were all starting to recognize that the virus was coming into the United States, and they were asking questions about, well, what do you think about the fear that everybody's dealing with? And the Lord just kind of gave me a word, and he said, we're in a Kairos moment. And I kind of just said it off the cuff of my head. Well, you know, guys, we're actually in a Kairos moment right now. And I really felt the presence and the peace of the Lord come over me. And then I realized after I said that, none of the students in the class understood what I was talking about. And so I kind of had to stop and go and talk about what Kairos moments are and how God actually ordains them sometimes to change people's lives or change human history. And we really are in a Kairos moment. Think about this with me. You guys are experiencing this in real time just like I am. We've had viruses that have actually been more severe in human history than this one right now, and yet we have reacted globally in such a stark and an intense way that we've affected every form of society by our reaction to this pandemic. It's actually stunning to actually watch. And the interesting thing about that is think about it. You have two kingdoms right now with human history going on. You have the kingdom of darkness, and they have a plan. And then you have the kingdom of God, and he has a plan. And in the middle of all this, we have to begin to say, well, okay, so we see the stuff that's going on in human history, but what is God's kingdom's response to this? And what is God doing in the middle of this? And I don't know about you guys, but after watching the news for a couple of weeks, it's brought fear to me. It's made me angry. And all of that has made me have to turn to the Lord just like you guys are and say, well, like, really, what is God doing in this? What is God trying to say to us in the middle of this? If you've recognized this, hopefully you've turned to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. If you've recognized this, we've been, it's kind of funny for the believers, we've been put on sabbatical. We've literally been put into a place where we have to rest. And that's why when Chris was reading the blessing, I'm like, well, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. We're in a time, and it's kind of interesting why we're in this time of rest. A lot of us are so not used to it that we don't know how to respond in a time of rest and find the Lord in the middle of it. And that's why I really think what we're going to look at in Mark chapter 1, verse 15 will be beneficial. So look at the scripture with me. I'll read it to you if you can trust me to read you it correctly. It says this. Now, this is the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and John the Baptist has just been eliminated from the scene. So one event in God's history has changed, and then Jesus is coming on the scene, and it says this, and then in verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So interesting enough, this is right in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and what's interesting about this event is how we see Jesus in this event in regards to what he's saying. So a lot of us see Jesus as, well, he's the suffering servant and he's our Savior, but historically, in this time in human history, when Roman generals would come into regions, they would actually stand on a crest of a hill and make an announcement, I'm taking over this region, and then they would deploy the resources of that kingdom to defeat their enemy. And here, isn't this interesting? In Mark's gospel, Jesus is coming into human history. It's his time now, and he is saying, the time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the good news. It's actually a statement that a conqueror says before he goes into battle. And that's what Jesus is actually announcing, is that he is announcing that in strategic times, he's planning on coming in and being Lord over what is going on in that time. Now, interesting enough, if you guys have ever looked at the idea of time, if you see it, there are two Greek words for the word time. The first one is the word chronos, and it's the beginning of time, and then it's the end of time, and it's linear. Then you have this word that Jesus is using, and it's the word kairos. And kairos is interesting because here we have linear time, and then we have events happening to us in those times, and those events are kairos moments. And kairos moments are fascinating because here Jesus is in time and he's announcing, I'm the Lord over time. And in these events, I'm going to use them to actually change you and cause you to come out of it actually more full of faith, hope, and love. And so think about it. That's what you and I are longing for right now in the midst of this, is how can I trust God more? How can I be more, have a hope inside of me, and how can I have more love engage in me in such what we would call a fearful time? And this is what Jesus is beginning to address. Interesting enough, when he says the time is fulfilled, he's actually saying that there are events that go on in your life and in my life and in nations and in the world that they have been ordained for God to do something. Now, I have watched different, you know, I've been alive a little bit long enough now to watch different events in human history. And what's fascinating about this is this event has gripped the whole entire world. And I believe it is a specific time that the Lord is coming in the middle of us, and he's wanting to work on people and ask him what we would call eternal questions. An eternal question is being asked by the Lord right now. Now, if you know the Lord, you've already had that question posed to you. You've had your own kairos moment. Now the world, isn't that fascinating? The world is actually being shaken, and it's because the Lord is wanting to have a dialogue with humanity right now about what is reality, what is eternal, and where our hope actually lies. So think about it. The kingdom of men, as the Bible describes it, is it's like on sand, and anything can shake it. So there's this shaking going on. Then you have the kingdom of God, and it is eternal and it's stable. And as this is being shaken, people have to look for some place to put security in. And what God is doing in his mercy is he's allowing that shaking so that they realize these things that they hold on to don't have security, so that they'll seek his eternal kingdom. And God is beginning to do this. And what's fascinating about it is God has been telling us for a season, I'm bringing you to this point. But if you guys are like I am, how do I want God to do events in my life? I don't know if you guys are like this, but we've been talking for maybe a decade. Hey, God's going to do this major gathering. God needs to change society. God needs to do all that. But the way that I want him to do it is I want to go on a vacation to the Bahamas, and then I want to come back, and then I want all this to be in place. Like, there's nothing that I have to go through. I just get to take a vacation in Jesus, and then I come back, and everything's changed in society. But that's not how the Lord does it. The Lord brings all of us into this because he's wanting to have actually an interesting dialogue with us. When I was getting ready for this and we were worshiping, I've been actually talking about this all week with different groups. And I want to point out something to you. The first time I realized how hard it is to understand Kairos moments is when Melanie Havner and I and another person went to Africa. We were going in Africa, and we wanted to train ministers and do all that other stuff, and we noticed that the presence of the Lord changed when we were in Africa. It's not that Jesus became something different. He just became more like himself in the scripture, and he started doing stuff that actually shocked us. And the reason it shocked us is because the biblical Jesus I saw in the New Testament, I wasn't seeing it in my everyday life in America, like the authority and the power. But when I went to Africa, it was almost like he was alive among us. He was just so powerfully moving that the whole team was actually shocked. And one of the days we were leaving, we were doing open air preaching, and we were seeing 5 to 10 to 15,000 people at these meetings, and hundreds of people were being coming to the Lord. And like on the fourth day, we were leaving and heading back to the compound where they had us stay. And I noticed that people were walking towards the city, and I was asking the driver, like, what are these people doing? And he said, I don't know, let's pull over to the side of the road and ask them. And so we pull over on the side of the road, and we're like, the market's closed. Did you know that? And they're like, well, we're not here to go to the market. We heard that God actually showed up. God is in this city, and we've been traveling for the last 2 days to try to get into this city because we want to be where God's at. And I had never seen an event like that where people had just stopped everything and God had grabbed their attention. And then he started taking over. He started doing powerful miracles. He started healing people, people that were caught in false religions. He was delivering them. The whole team actually felt like they were spending all their time just trying to keep up with Jesus because we had never seen him do anything like that. And one of the nights, I was noticing that every night all these children were sleeping out up by the highway. And I kept asking our interpreters and our guides that were with us, what are those kids doing? Where are their parents? And they're like, well, their parents have died from AIDS. These kids live on the street. And we've been feeding them as they've been here, but this is the only place they can stay. But they want to be where Jesus is at. They want to be near him because this is the only time they ever have a sense of community, a sense of hope, a sense of joy. That gripped me powerfully, and I went back to the place I was staying, and I was texting Kelly, I'm just looking at these kids. They've lost their parents. Their clothes have been, they only have one pair of clothes and it's ragged, and it just broke my heart. I mean, I just sobbed for a while as I was texting Kelly about this. And I was kind of thinking about it, and the Lord asked me this question based out of Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, it's when Jesus is being revealed as Messiah, and he's fulfilling a prophecy in Isaiah 53, where it said, surely he bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. And in Mark's gospel, this is where he goes into a town and he just starts healing people. And then they make that, this fulfills that prophecy. And I knew that because I'd studied healing and we were there doing healing. But the Lord backed me up and he said, now, Brian, go to the first part of the passage. And I went, oh, okay. And he said, now read it again. And the first part of Mark chapter 1, it says, Jesus went into a city. And he stopped me right there and he says, now, what happens when I go into a city? And I thought, well, I don't know if you ever have God ask you these questions. You know the answer you're going to give. You know you're not going to get it right. So I'm like, I don't know, Lord. What does that mean? What are you trying to say? And he pointed to the fact that he said, look, when I go into cities, I take them over. I actually bring my goodness into a city. I bring my authority into a city. I change cities. I don't come into cities to visit. I don't come to cities to have a fun time. I come into cities to actually bring the goodness of my salvation to cities. And he says, and that's what you're in right now. You're caught into a time where I've decided that I am going to take over what is going on in this city. And what he means by taking over is he's going to challenge what the enemy is doing in people's lives and show them the joy of salvation. I actually didn't realize I was in that moment. I had to actually become aware of it. And during that time, it was fascinating to me how many things Jesus was working on inside my own life as he's doing this major work of drawing people into his kingdom. Now, I'm going to share this with you guys as we go on into the teaching, but I really want to encourage you. So, you know, we're getting information from a lot of different areas, but maybe in an area that you had not been hearing, is I was just kind of going through a Twitter feed a week ago through Lee Strobel's, if you know who that is. He's the guy that wrote the book, The Case for Christ. And he was saying they've had to move all their services online. And over the last several weeks, over 1,000 people have come to the Lord just from the presentation of the gospel going out through media now. Isn't that fascinating? And then I was getting ready to do a service Wednesday night, and I was talking to a pastor in your guys' region in Colorado, and he was saying their whole entire network has been broadcasting and presenting the gospel. And I was talking to a pastor in Rochester, and he actually didn't hear me correctly. He thought I said over 2,000 people have come to the Lord, but they were sharing with me that 20,000 people have come to the Lord now in the last several weeks because of this shaking that's actually going on. Now, here you and I are in the middle of this. That's really good news for those guys. I'm grateful for that. I'm expecting God to do that because a kingdom is being shaken. What people are trusting in, God is shaking that intentionally right now because he's trying to make them stable in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And when you have reports constantly coming of fear, economic problems, death, destruction, you start going, what system has security in it and what system doesn't? And this is intentional. It's a dialogue that God is having. Well, what dialogue is he having with you and I in this? Here we are. We already know the Lord. But what is the dialogue the Lord's having with us? Well, he's brought us into a strategic moment to grow in what we call a Kairos learning circle. So we are in a circle of learning from the Lord right now. Now back at the passage, it's Jesus said, the time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. That statement of a conqueror also is a statement of God being Lord. And so I was hearing from some other leaders that they said, wow, for the body of Christ, this is the best time to embrace humility. And guys, humility is not a form of putting ourselves down. It's a part of bringing every aspect of my life before the Lord and asking him to be Lord over those aspects. So I'm intentionally bringing my heart before the Lord and saying, be Lord over this. I'm bringing my emotions over the Lord and saying, be Lord over this. I'm bringing him my finances and saying, be Lord over this. I'm taking my schedule and my time and I'm saying, it's yours now, obviously, because we've been put in a rest whether we want to or not. And every one of those steps I'm doing, when there is a conflict or an anxiety, it's showing me that my foundation is in a crumbling system instead of eternal security. And I want him as a Lord to begin to minister to me and nurture me in that season so that as we go through this, my main thing isn't just struggling with fear, it's establishing his lordship, which is the peace and the presence of the Lord as we go through it. Because he has to become the one that sustains us in the middle of this. And I'm sure you guys are aware of that. And so Kairos moments are ordained by the kingdom of God for an opportunity to grow. And most people say, well, can't we grow some other way? I mean, isn't there a way that we can, like, go to the beach and hang out and grow that way? Well, sometimes Jesus does it that way. In fact, I prefer that. When I used to study scripture and I saw that persecution is what made the church grow, I thought, well, that's what I want. And then when I started seeing it, I thought, no, that's not what I want. And so my natural tendency is I want to just kind of take it easy and just have Jesus do all this stuff. But in some seasons in life, he actually says, well, you're actually going to have to come into a place where I'm going to have to get you to break off some lethargic attitudes and kind of being rusty. And I've got to kind of strengthen you a little bit during this season. And that's what's going on. We're learning how to believe God in a difficult place. And isn't it fun? All of us get to do this together. And so this is a process for us to go. So what does the Bible actually say to us about this? Well, the Bible actually is telling us if God has ordained this time, God has made his presence available to us. And as I'm talking with different people in different places, they're sharing with me like, wow, it's just amazing how available the presence of the Lord is. I mean, I barely start praying and there's the Lord right there beginning to dialogue with me and talk to me. In fact, my own wife, just to show you what's going on in my household right now, she's having the Lord. For a while, it was every night, waking her up at 2 a.m. and having her pray for our country and pray for the nation and what God was doing. And the scriptures kept showing me, she's going, why do you think God's having me pray this stuff about that he would be lifted high and that there would be no other God being shown in the nations? And I'm like, well, because when a Kairos moment comes, any form of idolatry tries to come back up in power. People try to engage it with the flesh, and the Lord wants to challenge that so that that has no power, so that people can see the Lord. And so, it's been going on almost every night, where every morning I'm asking her, what's the Lord been telling you this morning? And she'll just kind of hear the scriptures, and she'll tell me, and I've been praying for this the last several hours. And so the point of it is God is available right now to teach us his ways and teach us how to walk through this. And so we're going to now, so I don't have a whiteboard, but here's a circle. We're now entering in the learning circle where God is going to begin to transform us. And what does he want us to recognize? We're in this moment. How does he want us to live? What's the process that he's taking us through? Well, there's, on the first side of it is the side of repentance. And on the side of repentance, there are three aspects that we want to recognize. The first one is this. We're to observe what's going on. You know, it's funny. I even teach on this, and I'm amazed on how I don't ever get this stuff. It takes me a few days to be frustrated and upset or want things to go back to normal instead of just entering into it and saying, what am I actually observing? Now, there's two levels of observation here. What are you observing in the world that you're living in? And what are you observing going on in your heart right now? Because what is going on in your heart is pointing to some things that the Lord is wanting to come and have a dialogue with you about. So you have to observe. And so the question actually becomes this. How are my emotions responding to this? How are my thoughts responding to this? Do I find myself actually sliding into anxiety and worry and fear? Or are those flags that the Lord is now coming towards and saying, hey, I want to have a talk with you about this. I don't want this ruling in your heart anymore. Or where is our focus going to? Because it's kind of interesting, when this first started happening, they were saying that people were just watching the news all the time, and now people are getting tired of it because we're getting the same message. We're getting, hey, there's actually not a solution. And so the Lord is trying to say, I want you to begin to say, what is going on in my heart right now? Because there's another dialogue that Jesus is beginning to have, and he wants you to observe it. The next thing he wants to do is he wants you to reflect about it. And what that actually means is paying attention instead of just trying to, well, we've got to get everything back in gear. As I said, and sometimes I kind of wake up every morning going, wow, is this actually really happening? I find myself reflecting, okay, I'm in it. There's no getting out of this. And so what is the rhythm that I'm supposed to be learning? We're in a new season. I can tell you this, from going on from this point forward, nothing is going to be the same as it was. That just nothing is going to be the same. We have entered into a new reality. And I think from what I hear from the Lord and what I'm hearing from other believers, all the things we've been hoping for, it's starting to get released. It's just that we're having a hard time finding it because we're hearing so much negativity coming out of the culture. So we have to reflect. If I'm having a hard time emotionally, I turn to the Lord because he's the one that can restore the soul. I turn to brothers and sisters, and that takes us to our third point. I learn to dialogue. Now, Chris was talking about these groups going off and people visiting with each other. This is where you learn to discuss what is actually going on. We, on a daily basis, are talking with people, and we're just sharing. Here's what we're dealing with. Here's our frustration. Here's the stuff we're struggling with. The Lord has given us community and has wired us for community for this season in our life so that we'll actually walk through this as a community and bear one another's burdens. That's the purpose. One of the purposes of us doing this with each other is so that we'll bear each other's burdens. And if you're uncomfortable with that, isn't that funny? We're all in an uncomfortable place, and so we're being brought to the place where we have to do it. I'm in a house with my family right now, and you know, after we've done everything we can think of, we just find ourselves talking at a different level with each other now. We have to discuss, here's what's going on with you. All right, so that's the first part. In a Kairos moment, God is trying to get you to repent. And a lot of people actually get stuck in just, well, I guess what God wanted me to do is repent and kind of talk about it. But that's not what he's ultimately looking for. A Kairos moment is to also get you to believe or come into a state of hope that you've never experienced before. If you guys are like me, when you read the Old Testament and you read the stories in the Old Testament, it's kind of fascinating that you watch people go through that stuff, and I always am pointing at it like, why don't these people ever get it? But when you're living it, it's like you're oblivious to all this stuff going on around you. You just think, well, I have no clue why we're going through it. I don't know God being anywhere in the middle of it. I can't figure it out. And yet, here is where God is trying to mature you to see him for who he really is. One of the things interesting about the wilderness wandering for the nation of Israel is God kept bringing them into Kairos moment after Kairos moment after Kairos moment. And their response was, God has brought us here to die. God's brought us here to make sure we're not being fed. God's brought us here to destroy us. They couldn't perceive what was going on. But guys, we're being brought into a place to see the goodness of the Lord. We really are, and we have to recognize it. And so God is trying to get us to believe him for something. So what is that aspect? What does it mean to believe? Well, I believe that right now, if you'll turn your heart to the Lord and you'll bring different areas of your life, God will start giving you a plan on how he wants you to move forward. I don't know if you guys recognize this. I'm around the prophetic ministry quite a bit, and everybody's trying to get a word for a prophet or have a prophet say something. But I think God's limiting how much he's giving right now because he's wanting believers to turn to him and say, okay, so here's my finances. They're being really shaken right now. What do you want me to do in response to that? Or here's how I feel, Lord. What do you want me to do to be in response to that? I found in a certain personal Kairos moment that the only way that I got out of it is God told me I had to start actually memorizing scriptures and bringing them to myself and encouraging myself consistently, because the only thing that was going to break me out of a stronghold in my mind of always evil foreboding that I had from my family background. And so in a Kairos, I didn't want to be in that moment, but in that moment, the Lord actually said to break free. What I wanted you to learn is I want you to memorize scriptures of hope so that every time that voice comes up, you can break the power of it with my word so that you can be set free. And it was a difficult time, but on the other end of it, I was set free. All of a sudden, this thing that was holding on to me for a long period of time was over. It hasn't come back since then. I learned and I planned, and God showed me a plan on what to do through that season. And you're in that season right now. Isn't that amazing? We've been isolated intentionally to hear from the Lord. I mean, we've been isolated to hear from the Lord. And so I'd encourage you, don't miss this opportunity. The Lord's here. He's in the middle of it. He wants to have a talk with us. Number two. As we begin to plan, we want to become accountable, which means I want to talk. So as God's sharing with me, here's the plan to go forward, I want to talk to people about it. I want to tell them, well, here's what the Lord is talking to me about. Here's what he's been showing me. And I'm trying to figure out how to respond properly to it. That is a great place to be as you're trying to grow, because think about this. The community of the body of Christ and the Lord has been given to us for wisdom. We've been given each other for wisdom so that we can hear the Lord and then hear from our brothers and sisters and gain wisdom. Also, it just strengthens us to actually become accountable with these things that God has called us to. And the last thing that God has called us to is he's called us to put in place what we call steps of doing it. I actually want to have this plan that I'm working out, and then I actually want to give my time to actually doing it. Now, if you guys were like me, I say the first week I just watched the news all the time and then just kept hoping it'd be over in about a week. And then as I realized, well, we're going to be in this for a while, I started asking the Lord, well, what's actually, I mean, really, what am I supposed to be doing with my time? Because if I'm given to myself, I'll just go waste time doing who knows what, or I'll slide into worrying about things. And so I've had the Lord say, well, this is a time, Brian, I'm actually trying to equip you for the next season that you're about to enter into. And so I'm entering into a new season of getting before the Lord, learning from the Lord, and having him change how I'm beginning to look at things. Because I believe we're going to go from this to a season where, for believers, things that we keep talking about that we hope the Lord's going to do, I believe he's actually going to start doing. And he's going to raise a lot of you up with a lot of what we would call creative, wise ideas, and it's going to change your life. And so don't miss what God's putting into place. He's giving you a Sabbath rest to learn to put something in place so that you can actually go to the next season. And guys, we are moving into the next season. We are going from one place to the next. We're going from one season to another. And so as we kind of finish up here, here's some questions I want you to begin to ask yourself. You're saying, well, what should I ask the Lord, or what should I begin to ponder? Here's a couple things I want you to do. And Chris actually said it when he started the service, so if you missed it, I want to make sure I reaffirm it again. The question is, what is God saying to me right now in this season? So the first question is, what is God actually saying to me right now? And if he's saying something to me, how am I responding to it? So if God is trying to cause me to grow in an area, am I trying to embrace it, or am I resisting it? And I want to be a person that if I'm struggling with something, I want to talk with people. I don't know why God's telling me this. I kind of know it's him, but I'm struggling with it. And that's where we discuss it. And so the next obvious question is what am I going to do about it? So God has spoken to us. He's going to reveal himself to us. What are we going to actually do about it? Now, interesting enough, I'm kind of moving at a really fast pace telling you, well, here's the season we're in. But I also want to remind you of one thing about the Lord's kingdom that you guys have already experienced. He has not changed as a person. We were doing online meetings, I think it was Saturday night, I believe it was. No, it was Friday night. And we were opening it up for asking the Lord to give us words of knowledge. And then we had people from all over the world watching it. And we were giving words of knowledge, and we were watching people still get healed in their homes and being touched by the power of the Lord. We were like, well, of course Jesus hasn't stopped being who he is. He's always going to be about this. We can trust him in this stuff. And recognize, you're being shaken, but you're in an unshakable kingdom. The world is being shaken, and they're finding out that the things that they've held on to, they can't trust now. And so I'm intentionally... we go out, you know, to the grocery store and stuff, and we're intentionally engaging people because there's such a fear resting on people that they're having a hard time just, and they want to connect. And so we're engaging, we're trying to be at peace, we're trying to draw people in because we're now the living epistles that God is putting on display in front of people. And he's beginning to say, well, this is what a Christian actually looks like. This is how a Christian goes through something like this. And so that's important for you to recognize, is that as this is going on, we're really stepping into an eternal, our focus is becoming eternal now, and people are wanting to have that dialogue with us. That's why they're seeking this out as much as they are. So if you guys, I'm going to turn it back over to Chris, but I'm going to pray for you. And hey, guys, it's so good to be here with you and see you. See you guys sitting in your house, and we're getting together. Let me pray a blessing over you. Okay, so would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this moment. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. It's so good to be with them, to worship with them, to see their faces. I thank you for this time, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask that a peace would wash over our hearts and our minds. And as we keep hearing reports that look towards the future with dread, I ask that you would give us a new report inside our own soul. And that you would speak clearly to us in this season. I ask that your virtue would come over our mortal bodies right now. And you would restore us, God. Just let your power and your goodness restore us. And Father, where we keep having a blanket of fear thrown over us, I ask that you'd break the power of that and you would restore hope inside of us.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.